Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners. And we are here once again with our favorite guest.
We're back at Cherry Ridge Range. We have Evan Knappen. We got him off of the milk box.
Sweet. And we finally got him. We dragged him down here.
If you go to Gun for Hire Radio's website, the Gun for Hire Radio Facebook, Evan, you're a member of that group. There's
Thank
a picture
you.
Of you on the milk carton.
That is really
on the Facebook page,
Thank
by
you.
The way.
Well, I have been discovered, and I was in court today in New Jersey.
Tell us what happened.
Well, this is a really interesting case because it highlights what is essentially. I believe it's a conspiracy, essentially, by the New Jersey State Police, and I'll explain what I mean when I say it. I don't say we're not talking black helicopters, but we
have enough of those.
We're talking about an issue that's either gross incompetence or an intentional act, and the listeners can decide. But I'll tell you what the deal is.
Tell us.
My client today had an issue going. Back over 8 years in which through the domestic violence laws his guns were seized. Now there was no finding of domestic violence, there was no final restraining order, no criminal convictions, nothing like that. But because once your guns are seized you have to go through a forfeiture procedure.
You're found not guilty.
Even though.
So I'm found not guilty.
Everything clear. You still have to go through it, at which time, and I didn't represent him back then, I just want to make that clear, there was a finding that he had an alcohol issue. And they said, hey, that's under the licensing, and he was ordered to forfeit his guns, and his ID card was revoked, because once this fuse is lit, you go through the whole process. Remember, with a domestic violence complaint, all it takes is for the so-called victim, okay, and there are many who are actual victims, but there's even more who are so-called victims, because this is one of the most heavily abused laws on the books, abused against individuals, used for tactical purposes in divorce, and with the lowest thresholds of evidence, all it takes is an accusation along the lines of harassment. Now, keep in mind that harassment is defined as the essence of doing something purposely to annoy. Okay, now you tell me if any of you have ever purposely annoyed
your
spouse.
He purposely annoys me every day.
There you
day,
go. Well, that's harassment. New Jersey. So if your spouse alleges that you purposely annoyed or your girlfriend or your other qualifying person, then immediately upon that allegation and a call to the police, all guns will be seized, temporary restraining order issued, and you can be charged criminally with harassment. Okay. Any one of those issues, you will lose your gun rights if you lose any of those issues. If the restraining order is issued, if there's a criminal conviction for harassment, if there is a weapons forfeiture where there's a revocation of license and the guns are not returned. And the problem is that about 8 years ago, a new law at the time was passed into the Jersey gun laws that says as follows. Any person, this is paraphrasing, any person who has had guns seized pursuant to domestic violence and who has not had them returned is essentially forever barred from owning or possessing a firearm or getting a firearm license in New Jersey. And there is no statutory relief. There is nothing in the law where you can seek relief of that. So we see the following cases all the time. We see folks who they had a gun seized. There was no domestic violence, no cause, but it was a cheap gun, you know, a top break shotgun worth $20. And the guy's like, I don't even want to bother going to court. Keep the gun. He just lost his gun rights forever in New Jersey.
Wow.
Because that gun was seized and not returned.
And no one's going to tell him that.
And now you're right, Anthony. That is where I believe the conspiracy comes in. Here's why. Because for 8 years now, the New Jersey State Police Firearms Unit has failed to put the question on the gun application for a handgun permit, for a firearms ID card, or on the certificate of eligibility. And that question needs to be there that says, have you ever had firearms seized pursuant to domestic violence that were not returned? They don't put it on. Now, if they had on every certificate of eligibility that language? And guess what? Then the public's going to know. And you're not going to roll over and say, okay, I'll sell my guns to a dealer. No, that'll all stop. Everybody will fight to get their guns back because they don't tell you about it until it's too late or criminally charge you. Because if you have guns seized and not returned and you possess a firearm, you are the equivalent of a convicted felon under New Jersey law and can go to state's prison for that offense.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You're going to tell us more about what your ideas are when we come back?
Absolutely.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise. And although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Hit it! Hit it! Broadcasting truth from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain, and it really is the Second Amendment Iron Curtain. My God, Evan, you're scaring the crap out of me.
Well, this stuff amazes me, and I see it every day, and I'm going to tell, everyone who's listening to this, if there's something you want to do, send an email, send a letter to to the state police firearms unit. Ask them why it's not on the application. Why, for 8 years, there's even been modifications to that application in that time. Why have they failed to put that disqualifier on there? Now let me say, I don't agree that this should be a disqualifier. I think it's a stupid law.
Right.
It shouldn't even be there. But you know what? They're not doing anybody any favors. Because if you have this disqualifier and you end up acquiring a gun or getting a license and then you're caught, you're going to go away for a long time, all right? You're going to be looking at, up to at least 5 years in New Jersey State's prison because you're in criminal violation of this, okay? Bad news here. And the licensing disqualifier could come up to bite you in the butt as well because now you were disqualified, and even though the question wasn't asked, you went as someone who's otherwise disqualified and got a license when you shouldn't have.
Oh, man.
So that itself could be a possible offense. In other words, the feds, you see it happen, an attempted acquisition, attempted purchase, a licensing under a fraudulent condition, et cetera. Mm. So you're not qualified, and therefore the state police firearms unit needs to put this question on the firearm identification card application, on the application, which is happens to be the same for handgun purchase permits. They need to put it on the application for a carry license because it's still a disqualifier. They need to put it on the certificates of eligibility. And that's a big one because how many folks go and buy rifles and shotguns from dealers,
right,
fill out and see that question? The public will get educated.
Yes.
And like I said, it's either absolute negligence on their part for 8 years not putting a per se disqualifier right on an application, or it's intentional, and that makes it a conspiracy to keep us in the dark. So I just like to know what the answer is. Are you negligent, or are you intentionally trying to screw New Jersey gun owners?
Well, which is the answer.
Which is the answer. Well, whatever it is, it needs to be there. Right. We need to know about it because it has very significant impact. And that's what we were fighting today. I'm raising an issue today where my client, 8 years later, is fine. He would qualify for a license. He no longer has an alcohol issue at all, documented, proven, no problem. But that permanent bar, of which there is no relief, is stopping him from even putting an application forward. And this was something not told to him, not explained.
This is unbelievable.
Never told. And you know how many people that are listening to this show, they themselves know, and they're listening to me right now thinking, I had a gun seized and not returned.
Yeah.
And I have my gun. Well, if you're listening to this and that's you, you're looking at serious, serious problems.
What do they
this
do
isn't
now?
Fixed.
Suppose that is them. What do?
Well, here's the thing. If they're caught possessing a firearm, then they're going to have a possessory offense charge. You can look it up. It's under NJS 2C39-7. It's certain persons not to have firearms. And they'll read there that disqualifier and the draconian penalty associated with it. What can you do? Well, I can tell you what legally you can do, and as an attorney, I'm bound to tell you legally what you have to do. There's really only one answer legally, and the legal answer is under 2C39-12 is the provisions for voluntary surrender.
Oh, my God.
So if you voluntarily surrender it and they haven't started an investigation yet, then you can get the immunity under the statute from a possessory prosecution. But that means giving up your gun with no compensation or guns. And I know a lot of people aren't going to want to do that, and I don't blame you. I don't blame you for not wanting to do it, but you're taking a risk otherwise, and it's a serious risk. And yet this is being compounded by this information being kept as a trap. Yeah. As a trap.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
it sounds
it. Without a doubt.
That's right.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Now, suppose they move out of the state. Does that follow them?
Ah, now that's a good point. This disqualifier, if you will, is Jersey specific right now. Okay. Now, let me say, when I underline and put in quotes right now, because we've seen domestic violence misdemeanors that were not in a, suddenly, as our dear Senator Lautenberg, suddenly it became attached to a bill. And what do we have? A national prohibition for domestic violence misdemeanor, right, for also domestic violence restraining orders. Hey, where did these things start? It starts in the states,
right,
then a national. So you tell me when, you know, the national law, where they tap into that, this same Jersey law, and then you have a national disqualifier anywhere, again, it'll end up on the 4473, the federal form.
Yep.
And what's that person going to do? What? Nothing, because it's a permanent bar. So what I was fighting today in court, fighting with great, I think, really great facts here and a great case to fight it on, is the ability to go to court on a special type of motion that's it's like a generic type of motion. We call it a 450, but it has to do with new evidence, new circumstance, etc. And to bring that kind of motion to set aside that bar. And, you know, we're making great headway in trying to do this to get a bona fide approach to clearing this. But the path hasn't been solidly cut yet.
Evan, when we come back, I have reader questions for you.
Sure.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman. tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law, the bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Now, here's what you do. Take a big bucket of black paint, find a spot in front of your house about 10 feet high, about 20 feet wide, and paint in big letters U-G-L-Y, ugly. Now, why would you do that? It's stupid, but that's what some people have with their garage door. It's like a big, ugly billboard in front of their house. Now take a look at yours. If those 4 letters come to mind, then you have an ugly garage door. Solve it by calling Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Buy-Right Overhead Doors is in the business of installing beautiful custom garage doors and helping homeowners end their ugly garage door problems. Just by logging on to buyrightohd.com, you can upload a picture of your garage door so you can see what the right door can do for you. Buy-Right Overhead Doors, expert in all garage door problems, from fixing and installing new openers to even repairing the woodworking around your existing garage door. Buy-Right Overhead Doors. Remove that big black billboard that says ugly in front of your home. 877-711-6100 or visit buyrightohd.com.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-released Heart of America by Memphis recording star Jerry Alvin Dean, written by Jeff Saxon, a Jersey boy, and produced by John Allen and Richard Berardi, also of Jersey. All regular listeners to Gun for Hire Radio, which says to me, even famous people have no lives. And we're back at the Association of New Jersey Rifle and Pistol Club's Cherry Ridge Range with Evan Knappen scaring the crap out of us all.
You know, I have a bunch of questions. First question comes from Arlen Bell, a listener. Evan, you covered this before, but Arlen's new to this. He's worried about transporting his gun. You know, New Jersey, we're supposed to go to and from a range.
Correct.
But if I have a carry permit, Utah or Florida or Pennsylvania carry permit, I can transport. You said it strengthens our transportation, correct?
Yes, but it strengthens for interstate transport.
Okay.
Okay, so what we're talking about here is there's two ways, I guess we have to divide the question about transport. There's intrastate transport, which would be strictly inside of New Jersey, mm-hmm. and interstate transport, where you're going through New Jersey, where New Jersey's not your ending destination. Intrastate is controlled essentially by the exemptions, which you find under NJS 2C39-6. The specific exemptions that apply would be subsection E and subsection F. And what they deal with is going to and from your home from place of purchase or gunsmithing or from hunting or from the target range. And when you transport in those specific places, you need to be going in a way in which you're in conformance with subsection G, which says that, first of all, the gun has to be unloaded. That's the first requirement, unloaded. And the second is in a locked box or in the trunk or in a gun case, okay? So it has to have those elements. Then you can transport intrastate, and those exemptions are narrowly construed. So one of the problems, here's like an example, since you have to be going directly and it needs to be within those exemptions, let's say you just get a new handgun, and it's just an awesome handgun, and you want to go show it to your friend. So you bring it over to your friend's house to show him. There's no exemption for transporting your handgun to your friend's house, even though it's unloaded, even though it's cased. You do that, you get stopped, you're caught with the gun, even though you bought it with a permit to purchase. What are you looking at? 10 years in New Jersey State Prison with a presumptive 7 with a minimum mandatory 3 to 5 No chance of parole and eligibility.
Just for stopping by and showing your friends
for being
your gun.
Outside of the exemptions.
Yeah.
And if you don't think for 1 minute that you will get at least three years, no chance of parole, talk to Brian Aiken.
Yeah.
Because what was his defense? The exemptions, transporting while moving. And in that case, the judge refused to even tell the jury those exemptions. And, of course, that's where we got a pardon, because that was an absolute, utter injustice.
All right.
But think about that injustice, because what happened there, the exemptions were not utilized by the jury because of the judge. You have to be within those exemptions. Brian was. If you're not within them, they're not going to help you if you're not in them, right? You're going to go down on that handgun possession charge. You're going to have a major problem. So, but in interstate, if you have a carry license under Title 18, 926A, Section 926A, it's federal preemption law that allows for interstate transport, not carry, of your firearm. But in order to qualify for that, you have to be going from one place where you legally can possess and carry your firearm to another, meaning out of the, so that interstate commerce comes into play. So if you have a carry license from another state and you are going from a place where you can possess and carry, now arguably if you leave New Jersey, you are allowed to possess and carry from your home because the exemption allows you to keep and carry it in your home. You leave from your home and you drive through New York City heading to New Hampshire, where you have your New Hampshire non-resident license that you were able to acquire. Well, you're covered for all the jurisdictions in between for that transport, including driving through New York and driving through Massachusetts, because you're coming in with one place you can possess and carry to another. So that's where the carry license and non-resident license can give you the preemptive protection
federally,
so, which preempts the state from their enforcement.
So in my English, Arlen's going from Parsippany with his locked gun to Pennsylvania to shoot at a friend's range, or Pennsylvania to carry his gun because he has a carry permit in Pennsylvania. He's legal as long as it's locked or fastened case.
Here's what happens there. He has a Pennsylvania license. As soon as he crosses the border, he's good to go because Pennsylvania recognizes license.
But what about in New Jersey?
Since, well, in New Jersey, he was going, he's going by way of the exemptions, to a place of target practice where you're going to shoot or to hunt. So you have to be, because during the time you're transported through New Jersey there, you still have to be within the Jersey and then Pennsylvania, because it's not an in-between, okay? You don't have that. And so they could try to argue, if you're stopped in New Jersey, even though you were heading out to that place, the state would try to oppose and say, oh, no, it's not in the middle. Now, we'd still argue the federal preemption, but it wouldn't be as strong.
Gotcha.
As you want to be, when you're in Jersey, be within Jersey exemptions. Traveling out and with states in between, then you want the federal preemption under 18. And it's all in my book. It's all explained. So anyone here trying
Nappen.
To get a grip on
com.
It.
Nappen.com.
Look at it. I have a whole
the
thing.
The orange book.
I thoroughly explained the transport.
I got a great orange book story and 100,000 more questions when
okay.
we come back.
Okay.
With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, The Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area. With over 300 handguns in stock, you'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rucker Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bullethole.nj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio.
That slamming jail door is you behind it. If, according to Evan, you even walked through the state of New Jersey with a gun.
So, Sandy, you had a follow-on question?
Yeah, I wanted to know. My question is about long guns. Using the same scenario that you had brought up before, I stop by my buddy's house with a brand new rifle that I just purchased and show him the rifle at his house.
Okay, two important points there. When dealing with long arms in New Jersey, most of your Jersey listeners who are licensed have a New Jersey firearms ID card.
Correct.
The firearm ID card allows you to have that loaded long arm anywhere that you want to take it unless it's otherwise prohibited. So your firearms ID card acts as the ability to transport and carry an unloaded, because if it's unloaded, then you're covered. So, for example, if I have a firearms ID card, now I'm not telling anyone to do this. As a matter of fact, I tell you not to do this, but just to show you the example. If I have a firearms ID card and I want to drive down the street with an unloaded pump action shotgun in my hand, hanging out the window, okay, just driving down the road.
Oh, that would be great.
With a pump shotgun in my hand that's unloaded.
I see.
And I have a firearms ID card.
Past Cory Booker's house.
I am actually legal, at least as far as gun laws go in New Jersey, because it is unloaded, so they can't charge you with the loaded rifle. And I have a firearms ID card, which makes it. So in other words, in New Jersey, if I wanted to, if I wanted to put on my redneck hat and put a rifle rack in the back of my pickup truck and drive around with unloaded long arms in the back of my pickup truck.
You could do that.
I'm legal because I have a firearms ID card and they're unloaded. Now, of course, you're a target of theft and every state cop that you drive by will pull you over and you probably have a false arrest, string of false arrest suits going by doing
wow.
it. But it would be legal because a firearms ID card exempts you for the possession and it exempts you on the face of 39.5. What I mean on the face is the statute that is the criminal statute says, no person shall possess any rifle or shotgun unless having first obtained a firearms purchase or ID card, blah, blah, blah. You have. You're in. With a handgun, it says, no person shall possess a handgun unless having first obtained a carry license. Now, wait a minute. Since you don't have the carry, what do we rely upon then? The exemptions that follow in 39.6.
Okay.
Now, those exemptions in 39.6 apply to rifles, shotguns, and handguns, but you don't need them for your long arms,
gotcha.
If you have a firearms ID card, because you get exempted right on the face of the statute. So exemptions don't matter anywhere near as much as if for long arms, as long as you have that ID card and it's unloaded. But I want to also, there's a second very important point to make, and that has to do with, you know, we can argue all day about this magazine loaded, not loaded, et cetera. But you got to remember, the exemptions are what? An affirmative defense. And what does that mean? That the burden of proof is on you, the gun owner. In New Jersey, and I say this legally speaking, you are guilty until you prove yourself innocent.
Yeah.
Don't forget it. So if you want to push the envelope, well, you might be trying to push that envelope to a jury who may not buy it.
Right.
So the best thing is to use discretion, to be discreet, and to cover yourself to the maximum degree you can. Have those magazines unloaded. Not to the minimum that you can get away with, all right? That's the problem. And I love freedom and gun freedom, but I don't want to see anyone listening to this show victimized by New Jersey gun laws.
Right.
And this
right.
is how you avoid the right. victimization of it, by being as conservative and discreet as you can.
They're correct. Out to get us already.
That's right. They are
don't
out to get
make
us.
Make yourself a target.
Right, so don't
saying.
Do that. Yeah. And that's why we're giving you, I'm giving you here the advice that's going to try to make you safest. And, you know, as far as driving down the road with an empty shot, like I said, don't do it. It's just to illustrate how strong that protection is. But you know what? How should you transport that shotgun with your firearms ID card? I'll tell you right now. Cased, unloaded, throw a trigger lock on it, put in a gun case, lock it in your trunk, and have the firearms ID card, and be within the exemptions when you transport.
Better safe than sorry.
That's it. Now you've got layers of protection when dealing with the People's Republic of New Jersey.
Belt and a suspenders.
Evan, I got a question from Corey Vaughn about all the extra paperwork that towns require for firearms ID card and permit to purchase handguns, you know, and making people wait 30, 60, 90, 180 days.
Right.
I mean, what do we do? What do you do?
There's two issues. One is the extra forms, and the other one is the waiting period. As far as extra forms, it's right in the statute. They shall not add any forms.
But they do.
But they do, and you can challenge it, and I've successfully challenged people that say, I'm not going to, you know, 3 pages of extra questions. I tell them, submit it without it. If they deny you, we'll fight it. They deny it, we go to, it's illegal.
But not everybody has the money to hire
a lawyer. I understand. And also, do you want to stand out in your town because you're the guy that didn't play ball?
Yeah.
So what happens is you got to make that choice. There are some people that make that choice and say, I'm not going to be pushed around. F them. And there are others who say, no, I get it. I'll play. I'll do it. You know, it's no big deal. It's personal choice. As far as the law is concerned, hey, absolutely says nothing added to the forms. Now, what about the other issue of delay? Delay is really a problem in New Jersey. It's a terrible problem because there's so much delay. It's given so little respect that the statute said 30 days, but under a case, Adler versus Levack, which was not gun guys, but kind of like liberty people, brought this challenge. And unfortunately, they were set up and they swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. What happened was the judge who went before was known anti-gun judge, okay? And the town, once the lawsuit got filed over the delay, they immediately issued it. So it was arguably moot.
Wow.
But this judge said to them, well, it's not moot because if you don't want it to be moot, you know, no problem. I'll be happy to rule, you know, because it's not moot because it could happen again. It could happen again. So they went for it. Got this horrible anti-gun opinion that said basically, yeah, you know, the town can go at least 3 months, you know, at least 3 months. You read Adler versus and that law, you know, no longer had any real teeth, so they sit on it. I tell folks, if it goes beyond 3 months, you know, make a paper trail anyway. Once a month, send a letter. So now you sent 3 letters over the month. What's going on? By the time... you know, at some point, if you wanted to challenge, yeah, we could do a de facto denial, go into Superior Court and litigate. You want to spend that kind of money to do it, or you're going to just wait? I mean, it really stinks that the courts did not respect that law. It was put in there to avoid it, that the issuing authorities don't respect it. And, you know, but as far as what to do, that's tough because it costs money to litigate and... I wish it was a cheap way of getting around it. I can't think of one.
Real quick, just want to give a plug for the Motorcycle Mall, motorcyclemall.com, Belleville, New Jersey. If you need a generator or a quad or anything, motorcyclemall.com. More Evan when we come back.
For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. For a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 866-NRA-GUN-1. That's 866-NRA-GUN and the number 1. You can find out more at nragguncare.com. Freedom Energy is a leader in commercial solar energy. Not only does solar make good economical and environmental sense, which means you not only can get off the grid and make your own free energy, but you can actually put cash in your pocket at the same time. Self-sustaining solar also makes patriotic sense. Since our nation's enemies are also our energy masters, every time you flip on a switch, you're buying an IED or AK for a jihadi terrorist. If you own a commercial building, you could be tightening the noose around the necks of our enemies while at the same time enjoying the benefit of free electric. Doesn't get any better than that. And even if you don't have cash in the bank, Ron has financing available. He's even got a group of investors who will foot the entire bill, then pay you cash to rent your roof and give you access to electric at half of what you're paying now. Plus, if the power goes down for any reason, you'll still be up and running. Building owners, call Ron Sousa directly today at 973-265-2900.
Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick. But just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees. Order three and get shipping free. Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
All right, Evan, questions. Business owners in New Jersey. As a business owner, can I carry a gun in my place of business?
Yes, but let's be very clear. In your place of business, as the business owner, yes. But if you work, you know, as an employee for a major corporation, that's not your place of business.
Okay.
You need to be an owner. It's important that you are an owner.
Now, am I under intrastate exemption if I bring my gun to work where I can legally possess it and carry it?
There's a specific exemption under New Jersey law that lets you take it to your place of business.
There is.
Home. Yeah, sure. As a matter of fact, I had a case where a fellow actually had left a magazine at home and a magazine at his place of business, and he transported the gun with no magazine. And when he got home, he put the mag in there.
Smart
and
went idea.
To the business. Yeah,
this is smart
and that's idea. How he did it. But and as long as you're the owner, because there's a case out there where a guy was just as an example to show what you know how you get in trouble here. This guy was a manager of a bar, but here's the deal: he opened the bar, he closed the bar, he handled inventory, employees, buying, selling, every aspect of the business he handled. It just said every month he wrote a check for a certain amount to the guy who owned it. He kept a handgun there. Said, "This is my place of business." Court said no.
Wow.
He didn't own it.
Now, what about leaving? Can I leave a gun at my place of business
overnight?
Sure,
it's your place of business. Exempt. Yep.
I can leave it there.
Absolutely.
I can leave it locked up, obviously.
Yeah, well, that's a separate. Yeah, you want to do that. You want to make. You're responsible for it, but it is an exempted premise
now,
for you.
If my wife used that gun and she doesn't own the business, I'm not there. She's in trouble.
Well, you have multiple issues there. She has a problem over her possessions and she's not an exempted area. And then the transfer or her acquisition of a gun not belonging to her would be a separate problem.
So they'd both be felons if she picked up that gun to defend herself.
Yeah, arguably, if he knowingly allowed her to access it and could be an unlawful transfer from both under Jersey law. Keep it in mind. Let's say that you're in your house and some of your listeners here have a handgun and they have it in their bedroom and their spouse never bothered to get their own gun. If somebody breaks in and wounds, let's say, the spouse whose gun it belongs to, the defender, and he hands that gun over to his spouse there to help defend.
Let's see where
that
this
is now a criminal violation, a gun. Now, there is arguments of arguing necessity. But under New Jersey law, when it comes to minors, especially if it's your children, there's no such limitation. So that if he handed it to his 6-year-old daughter, he'd be okay.
But not his wife.
That's correct.
Nice.
Yes,
correct. Another question from Christopher. This is how long you've been on the milk carton. Christopher is a listener. He sent this question in program 8. We're on 36.
Oh, I've been talking to you guys. All right. What are you talking about?
This one's from Christopher. He says he has guns in the car. He's going to the range. He's stopped by the police. Should he tell them he has guns in the car? I know your answer, but tell us your answer.
What's my answer?
Sack.
That's right, sack. Remain silent, and that's the S. Why would you tell them? There's no reason to tell them that you have guns. There's no reason to tell them your any other information about what you do.
There's
you
no
tell
law
them,
that
you,
says
you tell
that
them, hey, you know, I have a spare tire in the back too, and I have a box of tools, and
so
here's my whole inventory, officer, of what I'm carrying with. Why are you telling him this? Now, you know, in states where there's a lot of carry of loaded firearms on your person, that's a real question. A lot of states don't require you to tell, but should you tell the officer that you're armed and it's on your person loaded? That's a separate issue because there may be the practical answer of, hey, I don't want to get shot today.
I do.
So maybe I should tell him, right.
I carry a gun. I tell the cops I'm carrying a gun.
My guns are cased and unloaded in my trunk and I get stopped for it. I'm not telling him anything. Why?
Now, what if he asks you, you have to tell him,
no.
Right?
No, you don't.
Really?
Because if he asks you, there's a couple ways to handle that. First of all,
answer the question.
What
would you answer with a question like, "Well, why would you be asking
the best,
me that?"
Exactly. That's the best way to say is to say, "Why you ask me that?" Which is actually asking him, "What's your probable cause?"
Yeah.
Now, if he says, "Well, there's a dead hand hanging out of your trunk," that's it. But if he says, "Oh, well, it's just routine. We ask it." Well, I don't really want, not routine. There's no reason to ask me that. That's it. Now, if you get into a situation where you are pressured and such, and you know, there's so many there's such dynamics to the specific circumstances that there are times when you're going to have to decide. But essentially, the fallback, your default setting, if you will, is don't volunteer any information, don't talk, you know, except for the minimum that you're required.
What does SAC stand for? Tell everybody.
SAC. It's on the back of my orange card, and it's a system designed to protect law-abiding gun owners. SAC stands for remain silent. That's the S. Ask your attorney, that's the A, and C is consent. Don't consent to anything without your attorney's
advice. That's what I
tell everybody. Now, there are certain exceptions, like, you know, like DWI, you got to blow. If you're not, you're going to get a refusal and, you know, things like that. But essentially, if you're brought in for any kind of investigation, you want to stand on your rights. You want to stand. If you in a self-defense shooting, you need a time frame in between, you know, that like 24-hour deal. You don't want to say anything, and the first time you talk about it, you want to be talking to your attorney that knows the gun laws.
You heard it, listeners, okay?
This is the way to go. It's very important because law-abiding citizens do not have anywhere near the experience or training as to what really goes on with law enforcement when it comes to this. And there's another issue as well, and that has to do with false confessions. Police are trained to extract confessions. They are all trained in the Reed School of Interrogation. Yeah. It gets a lot of false confession. Yeah. You don't want to have to deal. And here's a guarantee. Lawyers are very few will ever guarantee something. But I'll guarantee you, you'll never falsely confess to something if you don't talk to them. If you don't talk. That's all it takes.
So
you have
SAC.
Every right. SAC.
Silent attorney and consent.
That's right.
Okay. Remain silent. Ask for an attorney. Do not consent
that
to a search.
That is my system. SAC. SAC, like Strategic Air Command, protects the U.S. SAC protects us.
I love it.
And by the way, the SAC comes from the Fifth Amendment and the Sixth Amendment and the Fourth Amendment. It's just a simple system based on our criminal due process rights. And remember, we all love and treasure the Second Amendment, but how many brave men and women have sacrificed for the entire Constitution,
right,
for all the Bill of Rights? Why would you give them away? Why would you just say, oh, I don't care about the Fifth Amendment, I don't care about the Sixth Amendment, I don't care about the Fourth Amendment? You don't want to do that.
Right, exactly.
Right.
I'm going to plug for Vista Parking, vistaparking.com. Check out Tom if you're flying out of Newark International Airport. And he's a great patriot and Second Amendment advocate. Everybody's been using him, including Evan. That's why he's off the milk box now.
Thank
you. So vistaparking.com. Evan, a few more questions when we come back, and then we'll let you get out of here.
All right.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's urban defense institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, two of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun, or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
Talking off air, and Evan was saying, I am so happy that I had the sense to come aboard from day one.
We got him so much more business. He had to hire a new lawyer.
That's true. And I'm looking right now to hire
a new
lawyer.
Right now for another lawyer. So if you're a lawyer and if you're a new graduate and you want to come out and learn from the best, how did they get a hold of you?
Just go right on my website, evannappin.com. There's email. Click here for the email. Send me an email. Send me a resume and the cover. If you've got the passion for fighting for gun rights, if you got that passion and you're a lawyer, that's what I'm looking for. I don't care if you made Law Review. I don't care about all the public interest garbage you did. Yeah. Wonderful, good for you.
Yeah.
I want to know that you own an AR rifle, that you care about gun rights, and you want to enjoy the passion of fighting for the truth and for our rights. That's who I'm looking for, because that's what my team is.
So Nappin.com, send them an email. We were also, during the break, talking to Nappin about how January 30th, we stopped the ammo ban. Gun for Hire Radio unifying the other Second Amendment rights groups and other social media sites in New Jersey.
And our listeners
melted them down. The legislators on both sides of the aisle, Scott Bock said, for the first time in 10 years, they said, make it stop.
This
Listen,
show is a force to be reckoned with. And you know what? It just makes me so happy. I mean, everyone thinking about, New Jersey needs this so badly.
Correct.
It is
awesome.
We
are so tired. It is time.
It is time. We've been trodden on too much.
That's right.
And we want to, and Assemblywoman McHose agreed with us. She told us she was getting updates from the other side of the aisle because she was for the bill, fighting against the bill.
Right.
Everyone who was for the bill was getting slammed that was on our list.
Good.
And they were like, they couldn't believe the outcry. She told us that in the last show we were on. So we're kicking ass, man.
And this is just probably the most important New Jersey gun rights innovation is this show.
Oh, without a doubt.
I can't think of any. There's nothing that comes close to the impact that this is having.
And you were on board from episode one, baby.
I knew you two were involved. That was it. It was guaranteed.
Usually
to be
people
a success.
Run from us.
Yeah, well.
All right. I got to answer more questions, or they're not going to leave me alone.
Go ahead.
All right. I got a question. On my property, can I wear a gun on my property?
Technically, yes. You, on your property, land owned or possessed. I mean, it's in.
I can walk around on my front lawn with a gun, concealed or open carry?
If you're on your property, you're on your property. It can be either. Because it's just
what would my neighbors think?
That's a problem. See, if they, it might cause an issue, but you'd be just looking. Make sure you're within the NJS 2C 39-6 exemption. You can read it for yourself. It's explained in my book.
So I can mow the lawn with my Dirty Harry special.
I mean, I'm just saying. But New Jersey, you might.
Oh, God,
like I said, it's up there with the hanging your hand out with your unloaded shotgun.
Sure, but how do I handle that when the cop comes? You know, if a cop pulls
up,
show
him my book and you say I'm legal. And there it is. Why? What's the big deal? Now they may try. Well, you're scaring the neighbors or something. But
well,
hey,
that's their issue.
That
right?
is their issue.
Tell them to pull their blinds.
Yeah. Tell them. Don't look over
my
here.
My neighbors are scared already.
Yeah. Your
so
neighbors.
I don't have to worry.
Your neighbors are
I don't
really,
have to worry.
And I don't neighbors have neighbors. Really,
and he doesn't have neighbors.
Right.
Well, I clean my guns on my patio table, so it doesn't
that's
really
good.
Matter. That's
well,
right.
We got to start breaking these neighbors into.
That's right. We
into
do.
What's going on here?
Nappin, Evan, help us out a little bit. Sure. I got Rex Harris, Gary Allison, a few other people asked basically the same questions. Most people are worried about traveling. Flying with a gun. You talked about driving. Address this issue. I want to fly to Arizona from Newark International. Tell me what I should be afraid of and what I shouldn't be afraid of.
You should park at Vista Parking first.
Absolutely. That's important.
Everybody does,
and the other
Frank
thing,
Flamingo.
And the other thing you should do is go to NRA's, ILA's website, because there is a letter from the U.S. attorney in response to a question posed that specifically says that Title 18, 926A, the federal preemption, applies when you fly. Applies to the – so you want to carry that with you. This is what I personally do, carry that with myself.
So print that letter out
print
and
it,
carry
have
it.
Have it with you. That it applies so you can avoid and don't end up like a Greg Revelle, NRA-funded case. We were successful on the criminal side, but still, he went through hell.
And we'll put
that.
A link on our website.
Yep, grab that.
Yes.
And then you want to check and confirm – with your airline, because some of them have specific things they do.
I tell everybody, call ahead.
Call ahead. And then you, the number one rule, A, it's got to be unloaded. I put a trigger lock on it, too, and make sure you follow the rules for that. Never, let me just underline, never go into the secure area with that gun. Now, you may say, well, why would I do that? Well, I've had cases where one guy was going hunting, had his dog in a kennel, his hunting dog, had his shotgun unloaded, broken down in the kennel. He didn't realize that went in the secure area. They arrested and charged him.
Oh, my God.
Had another guy who was late running to the airport. Goes up to check in. I have a gun. I need to declare, but I'm running late. Well, we don't have time for that. Follow me. The person took his bag, put it his bag through the secure, and sent him through. So he got arrested.
Oh, my God.
And he tried to declare. Yeah, this is – so never allow your gun to go there. You got to declare it. And this is what you do. You walk up. You go to the counter, the check-in, and you say, you know, give them the ID, do the usual stuff, and say, I am declaring – that I have a firearm. Declaring. You must declare. Look at the person's gotcha. Name. Who did you declare it to? I'm declaring it. They'll then send you over probably to someone's going to inspect. They're going to put a piece of paper in that it was inspected. If you can note who did the inspection and that it's done, that's what you want to do. And follow their basic rules on by checking with the individual airline. And that's how, and it's perfect. Matter of fact, there is a website. I don't know right off, but you could find them sure by Google, where there's a fellow who purposely flies with guns because of, I think it's his music equipment, gets better care. Because when you fly with a gun, they have to separate it and all
so
this.
So he puts the gun with his insurance.
Right, exactly. And he says, he has it all set. Go right on. And he has a whole website just dedicated to flying with guns and the advantage, even though he doesn't care about the gun one bit, to flying with guns because it gets better service and
wow.
better protection
wow.
to what maybe it was photographic equipment to whatever it was. Check it out. So there is a plus side.
Yes, but, totally but, counterintuitive.
Totally. But he loves it. And, you know, and I thought it was great. This whole website he has dedicated to it, but it is absolutely possible. And I've done it any number of times. So, you know, not a problem, but beware if you're ending up going in or out of anti-gun jurisdictions. You got to be really careful
like
about
York
that.
Like New York and New Jersey.
Like New York and New Jersey. But there is the process. But if it's a long arm and you have your firearms ID card because you're going hunting, then you're covered, you know, the whole bit for Jersey because, again, they have that ID. You don't have to worry about exemptions.
But if you're but the gun should be in a locked or fastened case, TSA-approved case.
Right, TSA
which is
approved,
a hard shell case.
Right, and ammo separate.
Ammo
you know,
separate.
And,
I tell
and in a factory box.
That's what I tell them. Factory
That's
box.
Factory box, yeah.
It can't be in your little reloading plastic
right,
box.
Even though they're better and you think it'll travel better, forget
Correct.
It.
Correct. Factory ammo has to be in a factory box.
Factory.
I bought two of those little flat gun vaults that have the key lock on them. They're keyed the same.
Yeah.
I have the gun in one, two boxes of ammo in the other one. And
Works
I've
great.
Never had a problem. I travel a lot, and
right.
I've never had a problem.
So this is the thing. And by the way, just one little note. Don't ever let them put a tag or a sticker that your gun is in the bag, that there's a gun.
It'll get That's, stolen.
Well, it's also illegal. And the funny thing is what makes it, it was made illegal in the Brady Bill, of all things. The Brady Bill made it illegal for airports to tag that a bag has a gun in it.
Yeah,
yep,
that's great.
That was in it.
Really?
Yeah. And the, sometimes you run into an issue because if you're flying to certain foreign countries, they require that it be marked.
Oh.
But it's illegal for them to do it here. So it's a little bit of a conflict.
Wow, that's strange.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
they can't mark it here, but it has to be required.
But then, so if you're flying, but then if you're flying international, that's a whole other thing, boy. You better double check a lot of laws before you go taking your gun with you.
The last thing I'd like you to cover, I get from a lot of listeners, I know you said we don't have such a bad castle doctrine and use of force,
right.
but how about telling us, giving us some tips and traps with use of force in the state of New Jersey and our castle doctrine. What should we be careful of? Because obviously our system is rigged against us.
Well,
whatever light you could shed on this.
Okay,
would be
New
great.
Jersey surprisingly has decent self-defense laws, but lousy laws on having the means of self-defense.
So we can defend ourselves, but
barehanded. Right. So now the reason is because, first of all, for example, in carry states, and I'm particularly familiar, as you know, with New Hampshire. One of the main problems that gun carriers run into is when they produce their firearm but don't fire it. Now, the question is, what is that? And then they end up getting charged with criminal threatening when they actually did the armed citizen thing, you know, the armed citizen column where, you know, 9 out of 10 times, the mere presence of a firearm or virtually. Okay, well, in New Hampshire, you'll get arrested, and that's a pro-gun state, because if the other side alleges the pointing, et cetera, you end up with a criminal threatening charge. So one of the issues that's come to a head is, what is the definition of non-deadly force? Now, in terms of comparative law, I just fought hard and we got New Hampshire to change its definition. But you know what? One of the arguments I made to let was New Jersey has a good one. New Jersey makes it clear that if you're not firing your gun, you know, a gun not fired is non-deadly force. Non-deadly. So if I were to make the fire, if I were to point a gun directly at you and say, I'm going to blow your effing head off, and you have apprehension or fear that I'm going to blow your effing head off, but I don't. Is that non-deadly or deadly? It's non-deadly because
that's
the trigger. Now, you know why that's important? It's important because the thresholds for the use of deadly and non-deadly are different, right? Because you know you can use non-deadly force in a much broader way. So I'm not saying to produce your gun and to necessarily do that, but the good thing is because New Jersey has that specifically defined, it can even give you an added benefit when asserting the justification in New Jersey. And by the way, that's what it's called. It's called justification. We call it self-defense, you know, in our culture, but legally it's justification. What is it? It's justification for the use of force. Normally, we're prohibited from using force upon one another, criminally prohibited.
But if someone is trying to force their way into my home,
you then can be justified, right,
okay,
to use deadly force and non-deadly force depending on other factors, other thresholds that are established and explained in more detail. I'll plug my book gratuitously, but seriously, that's where you want to read it to get a real understanding. But that's the deal. So if you're going to use your firearm, you need to be justified for the use of deadly force for its use. And if it's not used in terms of firing, then there's the non-deadly force thresholds. You should familiarize yourself with those specific self-defense justification statutes. You owe it to yourself, if you ever think you might use a gun on another person, to read them. I know it's a pain. Who wants to read law? But read those. Okay?
Especially if you have a gun at the home or if you have a gun in your business, or business owners who,
right,
you know, somebody comes in to rob you, or in the case, I don't know.
Right. Well, if someone comes in to rob, and remember, there's a threat of serious bodily harm or injury or death.
Right.
Okay. And if they're committing a felony at the time, you know, these are issues that are going to raise that threshold for use between non-deadly or and deadly. And that's a key. And if you fire your gun at or near or about a person or the vehicle, that's deadly force, and then you can get the reverse. Well, all I wanted to do was scare them, and I fired my gun as a warning shot. Well, guess what? You're now using deadly force, so you better be at the higher thresholds.
Yeah.
Because you're firing
it.
And people are thinking, well, it's just a warning shot. I just wanted to scare them. Well, you just undercut what you did by using deadly force.
My warning shots go right in the center of mass.
Well, this is the problem. You know, yeah, that's right. That's
first
they,
warning. They didn't listen.
That's it. And, so you want to be justified, and you know, just ask Raylan Givens about justified.
No, I know. The third warning shot goes in the head.
Third warning shot.
By the way, save the date. October 13th, Saturday, October 13th, 2011, will be the NRA State Dinner hosted by the Essex County Friends of the NRA and the ANJRPC State Dinner. And Scott Bach and I had Evan Knapp in Cherry Ridge today. He was opening boxes, and he cut himself, and he bled all over one of his books.
Oh, God.
And I took the book because it reminded me of the pool of blood under the eye of Gun for Hire. And we are going to be auctioning off this book that Evan Knapp authenticated with his signature and the description that it happened. He certified it.
I certified.
We are
going to
be auctioning this off. We're going to be auctioning off at the dinner. It's going to go for big bucks.
A bloody book.
It's a one-of-one,
bloody book for the Gun for Hire, the bloody eye, boys. You got the
Evan,
bloody eye.
Evan,
you got my blood.
Real quick.
I give my blood for the cause.
Our newest sponsor in New Jersey, not far from you, is a gentleman named Dean who owns Prism Electronics, and he does cameras and alarm systems, commercial and residential. He just did Sandy's house. So PrismElectronics.com. He's our newest guy to sign on.
He doesn't do first aid, does he?
No first aid. Oh, okay. No. But if you know anybody that needs commercial alarms or residential alarms or cameras, he's your man. He's our newest sponsor.
I try to give my business to those who are pro-gun.
We talk about this all the
time.
It's
very important. I really do. And I look for that. And I'll tell you what, if I find out that they're anti-gun, I don't do it. And let me just when are we on the air with this?
The 20th.
This is the 20th.
The 20th of February.
Yes.
Okay. It'll have been after the Valentine's Day Starbucks deal.
We talked about
well,
that.
That's good.
Yes. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I can't wait to go there with the $2 bills.
Me too.
We got to let them know we're out there, and that's a good.
That's what we're doing in this state every day.
That's
we're not
right.
going away. I'm not moving. I'm not voting with my feet. I am buying a summer house in New Hampshire, but we'll talk about that later.
Absolutely.
Because I want full auto and submachine
and suppressors,
guns and suppressors.
And it's a lot of freedom.
Evan, I can't thank you enough for coming on
my
to the show.
My pleasure. I love
Sandy,
it.
Where are we going from here? You're the producer.
I just was interested what you got going on with Gun for Hire Academy.
Okay, Gun for Hire Academy. I have, again, 6 locations, mobile training. We are everywhere now. The hooks are everywhere in New Jersey. If you don't have your Utah CCW, you better get it because HR 822 is going to pass, and you'll be able to carry. Just go on gunforhire.com to check that out. Also, on the 29th, Alan Gura, Toms River, New Jersey Second Amendment Society, NJ2AS. This guy went before the Supreme Court 2 times, kicked their asses, okay? He won Heller and he won McDonald. You should come down and show your support. Sandy and I want so many people to show up at that event that they have to hire outside police to direct traffic.
Absolutely.
So we can be in the Star Ledger and Jersey General and all that Jersey Journal and all those rags we read. Okay? On March 1st in Belleville, we're having a seminar called Be Prepared for Situational Awareness, Carjackings, Home Invasions, taught by a top detective. Men and women are welcome to attend, all ages. It's going to be a great seminar. On the 18th of March, we have Defensive Pen again, Sandy. The Kali family will be there.
Very great class.
And 329, we have a 4-day certified executive protection course. Our instructors are all Blackwater certified, by the way, which is not Blackwater RXE anymore. I don't even know what it's called
anymore. It's something.
But, you know, stop down and say hi at our headquarters. Again, we're at 6 locations in New Jersey. I can't thank all of our supporters and fans enough. Please visit our sponsors' websites. Len Schneider told me today that he emailed 1 or 2. He didn't email the rest of them. I'm very disappointed. Just listeners.
Len is sitting here in the audience.
Listen, listeners, it costs us money every week to produce this show. We do it on our own. I love doing it. I don't want to stop doing it. But we need sponsors, and we need sponsor support. And by way of sponsor support is, again, just send them an email or just pass it on. Just tell other people about their services.
Yeah.
You know, if we double the sponsorship, maybe we can go to a 2-hour show.
Right. Okay. Or stay on longer.
Or stay on longer. I would love that. But, you know, to have our legislators say, make it stop. Nothing's encouraged me more after being knocked around for 20 years in this state when it comes to firearms ownership. I really think that we have something here. I have to agree with Evan Knappen also. In 37 short weeks, what we've done to break over 110,000 listeners and do what we're doing, people of all walks of life, every age group, every ethnic background listens to the show. They email us every week. While we were taping the show, I got 3 emails on Talkback at Gun for Hire Radio. So, again, visit our Facebook page, Gun for Hire Radio Facebook page, and log on so you're posted to all the newest things that are going on. And that's it.
And if you've got the stomach to see how this sausage is made, be sure to mark your calendars for February 29th when we head on down to Toms River, New Jersey to interview Alan Gura, the American civil rights attorney who is responsible for making history in the Supreme Court cases of Heller and McDonald. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used on this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Berardi. On behalf of my co-host, Master Trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, thanks for listening. See you next week.